I'm going to read these first. This chapter 15. There's 8 verses in it. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. 7 angels having the 7 last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the 7 angels came out of the temple, having the 7 last plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the 4 beasts gave unto the 7 angels 7 golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into this temple till the 7 plagues of the 7 angels were fulfilled. Now, chapter 16 deals with those 7 plagues, those 7 angels with the 7 plagues. You know, it's one thing that we know, the Lord's people know, about the history of this world. You could say it's his story. It's his story. The history of this world, we say, is his story. It's God's story. The unfolding of God's eternal purpose. And it's going to unfold and unfold until it's finally over and done with. God's, we're in glory, and all the rest of them will be punished forever. That's why there's a there's a definite and reoccurring order of events in this world. You know why things happen over and over and over again? That there's no new thing under the sun? Now, when he means that, he means that there's no new thing under the sun that man can come up with to make himself acceptable to God. And here's the thing, God is the same. God never changes. And man's the same, he never changes. So that's why people do the same things, the same things happen over and over. God's working out his eternal purpose. His purpose is being carried out. And man is going on in his self-will, self-righteous, self-glorying, self-loving self. He goes right on with it. And now I want to give us a quick review, if I can, of his story. His story. As it's revealed here in the revelation of Christ. And I hope I don't take too long, but anyway, we understand clearly in the first 3 chapters, through the preaching of the word, applied by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit into the hearts of God's elect, God establishes his church on this world. And this happens over and over and over. A church will come into existence. He'll raise up a group of people. He'll raise up a work. That work will die out. He'll raise up one somewhere else. And he just keeps doing that. He's been doing that some, you know, there was a church. The scriptures tells us that there was a church even in the wilderness. So God always, he establishes his church, and he does it by the preaching of the gospel and the word of God. And they're all of God's church, their church and their preachers, they're light bearers. We hold up the light of God. We're holding up the only light this world will ever see, the only world this ever know anything about. And that's, you know, in the midst of this old dark world, we're the only light they are. And they're blessed continually with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know how he talked about how that he was with those 7 churches and he had something good to say about all of them except the last one, Laodicea. He had nothing good to say about it. And then here's the second thing that we found out, that God's people are persecuted in this world again and again and again. They go through many trials, many afflictions. In fact, it says, you know, that we come through great tribulation. And people think, you know, that the tribulation's yet to happen. Paul said in Acts 14:22, it's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. And let me give you some of the things that's a trial to us. It's the fact that we have to labor to have some humility. The fact that we have to humble ourselves. The fact that we have to pray, God, take the world out of us, as Houston did, take the world out of us for just a little while, the cares of this world, for just a little while. Just long enough for us to be here for hear a message for 40 minutes or 45 minutes. And I'll tell you what, we have great trials and great afflictions while we're in this world. And then a third thing that we've seen, and those are in chapters 4 through 7. Again and again, the judgments of God are brought upon this world. They're brought on this world over and over and over. And it does not cause one man to come to repentance. God's judgments never brought anybody to repentance. Never has. And we'll deal with that later. I mean, when God puts his pressure on a man, most men, I'm telling you, have you ever seen anybody brought to Christ through a tornado? You ever seen anybody brought to Christ through a hurricane? No. How many people are getting saved out in California when they got a drought out there and all the water's drying up? How many people's brought to Christ when all these people are dying all over the world? How many people's brought to Christ when they get out their guns and start shooting everybody? That's what I'm talking about. All the judgments of God. And man just grits his teeth and bears it. That's what he does. And then there's the warfare between the church and the world. And this really, what it does is points to a deeper warfare between Christ and Satan himself. That's where the real warfare's at. We're caught in the middle. It's just like Job. Job did not know that God and Satan had a conversation. But Job was the one who did the suffering. Job was the one who was tried. And it didn't happen to nobody else. It happened to him. And so you see, when we have this warfare going on between God and Satan, between Christ and Satan, because of the seed of the woman, and the dragon stands ready to devour that seed of the woman. And she's carried out into the wilderness. And I tell you, there's a great warfare going on in this world, but I already know who's won. I know who's already won. And I tell you what, we're in this war. We're warring not against flesh and blood. We really ain't. If you could war against flesh and blood, we could do something about it. But we're warring against principalities. That things that we can't even see. Spiritual wickedness in high places. The power of the prince of this world. That's who we're fighting. And then God and the Satan is fighting over, you know, they're heads to head. And Christ is going to, he's going to win. There's no doubt about that. He's won. But until he's finally put in that bottomless pit, we won't have to deal with him. And then whatever happens in history, when you go down through history, and you hear the trumpets of God, the trumpets of judgment, and the plagues. They fail to produce repentance and conversion. They do. You know, in Egypt, God sent 10 plagues on Egypt. 10 plagues. And I tell you, not one of them plagues made Pharaoh said, I'm going to let your people go. All it did was made him meaner and rougher and more hateful and more contrary. That's what the judgments of God do. And I tell you what, God allows impenitence and hardness of heart. And I tell you what, he'll let it go unpunished until the final judgment, until the final last day. And here's the thing, all you got to do is, like I said, look in history. Look at Herod. Herod stood up one day and gave a big oration. And they said, oh, it's the voice of a God. It's the voice of a God. God smote him. He died in just a day or two. Huh? Judas travel with the Lord Jesus and all the 11 apostles. And I tell you what, nobody knew what he was until he sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. And then what about Demas? Having loved this present evil world, he walked off from the gospel. He walked away from Christ. He walked away from fellowship with the greatest men that's ever lived on the earth. All of those. And what about Pharaoh? Let my people go. Who said to? The Lord said, let my people go. Well, who in the world is the Lord? Who is the Lord? I know a whole family. I told somebody about them the other day. From the mother to every son except one. When you mention Christ to them and the gospel to them, they grit their teeth and start stamping their foot. God, he said, I don't want to hear about it. One man's going to go have heart surgery and have four bypasses. Tried to talk to him about his soul, and he said, just shook his head. And that's one family. One family. And I tell you what, you have the answer to all of these things. Where it says this whole world lies in wickedness. Oh my, when men fail to repent, when God manifests his warnings in his trumpets, he warns men, he brings judgment. Judgments on this world in so many places, all over this world. And ain't nobody being brought to God. Nobody's being brought to Christ. You know, they get on there and, you know, they show these little kids starving to death and flies around their eyes and all that stuff, trying to get you send money. They don't say send the preacher over here so these folks can hear the gospel. They're shooting one another in Chicago just 25 to 30 every weekend. They don't say send the preacher up here and get on the street and start preaching these infidels. They got droughts going out there and the water's drying up everywhere, and they say, send us a preacher, tell us about the judgments of God. And when God was fixing to destroy this world in the flood, he had a preacher, and that preacher was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached 120 years. And how many people got saved? How many people heard the gospel? How many people paid attention to God's warning? That's what I'm telling you about. God will blow that trumpet. And the judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Well, it's going to come on them folks. It ain't going to come on me. And then when that water started raising up there, you know, and them mothers trying to hold them babies up. And the water just kept coming and coming and coming. You never heard one of them. You don't want to find any place where they said, God save us. Please let us in that ark. In Sodom and Gomorrah, he sent down there, he said, he sent angels down there to tell them people that. Listen, this is what God's going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what they said? They thought it was as somebody was joking, somebody was joshing, somebody was... as the tales had been told. You know how many got out of that place? Three people. People ain't paying no attention to the judgment of God. You go to every funeral you go to. How many people get converted when they watch somebody laying in the casket? Cold and lifeless. Oh, we're all going that way. Yes, we are. But there's a big difference in somebody that's a believer that's laying there, because all there is a body. They done gone to be with Christ. And if there's a body there without Christ, he's already in hell. Just that quick. That's the way life is. That's the way it is. Well, that's what I'm telling you. We see God's story over and over and over in this world. God stays the same. He ain't going to change. Man's going to stay the same. He ain't going to change unless God changes him. And then there's coming the final, the most complete judgment, but it won't be complete till absolutely until the judgment day. And these plagues here that we're going to talk about, these seven angels with these seven last plagues, they're the last. When these happen, there's no more opportunity for repentance. God warns. Men continues to harden their hearts. And oh my, death plague comes unto them from the hands of an angry God. And I tell you, before they die, they've crossed the line between God's patience and God's wrath, God's long-suffering, and God's mercy. There's always a time. Is there deadlines in the Scriptures? I believe there are. I believe they are. You remember when our Lord Jesus Christ went into Samaria? And you know what? They asked him, when that man come there with all them legion of angels, and he cast them into them hogs, and they run down there and died. You know what they come and said, Lord? They told the Lord, depart from our coast. Get out of our town. We don't want you here. And he went away and never went back. And one of these days, he's going to come into this world one last time. And that's what the world says. Keep on going. Keep on going. Don't come to our town. Don't come to our services. We don't want your power. We don't want your authority. We don't want your sovereignty. We don't want your blood. We be not sinners. And that's what the history of this world's taught us over and over and over again. Oh, that's when God told Pharaoh, every time he said, I'll let him go, it says God hardened his heart. God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned. Huh? Oh my. Well, and down through history, we see God's final wrath has been revealed itself again and again. It strikes one and then another. Look over here in Revelation 9 with me, in verse 21. And all I tell you, God's wrath for man has been revealed over and over again. It strikes one, then another. Look what it says here about these people. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Huh? Look back over here in Revelation, we're in 15, but look here in chapter 16 and look in verse 9. Look what happens in one of these plagues. And men were scorched with great heat. God sent such heat down on them, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. That's where man's at without the mercy of God. All right, let's go now through this 15th chapter. It's amazing to me, absolutely, utterly amazing to me that my grandson, you know, had that wreck. It's a miracle he got out of it alive, much less with just a broken neck. Now he's back at work, working. I told him time and time and time and time again, God spared you. God had mercy on you. God saved you. Judgment. God sent judgment. Never bothered him a bit. Sad, ain't it? Scary. Scary. But look here in verse 1. I saw another sign in heaven. This is John now. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Oh, this is his last great vision. This is the last one. The one that he had before that, he said, I saw a great wonder in heaven, when he saw that woman, that seed of the woman and the dragon standing. But he's talking here about great and marvelous things. Seven angels. They all of them had, every one of them had a plague. And he's going to tell us about these seven angels and their bowls. It says it's golden vials, but it's bowls of wrath. Every one of them is full of wrath when he pours it out. And he shows us that the beginning, though, the church, he shows us God's people, God's elect, victorious before that last day finally comes. Show us what we're going to have, what we're already victorious. We're already triumphing in Christ. And that's what he's showing us there. And he said, I saw this sea. This sea was glass mingled with fire. Great sea as it was, mingled with fire. And this is God's transparent, glorious righteousness. Revealed in his judgments upon the wicked. And I tell you what, in thy judgments, he said there in verse 4, he said, thy judgments are made manifest. He saw this glorious sea. There he was, a sea of glass. Fire was in it, just shining. And oh, he saw what them that had gotten the victory. He says they got the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name. Remember, there was two beasts. He had the number 666. Said, we are victorious over all of them. All of them. That beast never done anything to us. Couldn't harm us in any way. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, he sees this, them standing on this sea of glass. Ain't that what he says? He said, I saw him standing. Look what it says there. And over his mark and over the image, and then he said, and his name. And these people are standing. God's people are standing on this sea of glass. Standing on it. Look what it says now. Standing on this sea of glass, and they have the harps of God. Even the harps are not ours. They belong to God. He gives them to us. And when it talks about this sea of glass, it's like Israel going through the Red Sea. When God took Israel through the Red Sea, what was judgment was the righteous judgment upon Pharaoh was righteous salvation for his elect. When he brings judgment upon some, he's saving others. With the same judgment, he brings judgment, but he's not on his people because he's saving his people. And then having the hearts of God, even their hearts belong to God. And then listen to this. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. You know where you find that out? Exodus 15. You want to read that song of Moses? Oh, then not only do they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, but the song of the Lamb. And this is what the song really amounts to. You can go over and look at it. Great and marvelous are thy works. He said, great and marvelous are your works. You brought us through the Red Sea. And you killed our enemies. Drowned them in that sea. You saved us with a great hand. And you destroyed them with the same hand. And that's what he's talking about. And then we sang the song of the Lamb. What's that song of the Lamb? The song of the Lamb is that the Lamb saved us. The Lamb redeemed us. The Lamb shed his blood for us. That new song. I preached a message a couple of weeks ago on that new song that we sang. Well, that song is the song of the Lamb. That Lamb did it all. Great and marvelous are your works. Lord, your work, Lord Jesus. Great is it. Great and marvelous is it. You read that 46th Psalm tonight. God is our help. God is our refuge and a very present help. How does it mean, present help? That means he's there all the time. Huh? Oh, the mountains will go, but God will stand. Rivers will stop, God will stand. And that's what he's talking about. We're singing that song of Christ and his great lurk, his great marvelous grace, his blessed power, his precious blood. It's unto him that we owe everything. And I tell you, we sang the song of the Lamb. And there's nothing like that song of the Lamb. Nothing like it. I tell you, when we sang, every song we sang has something to do with us either glorifying Christ or in our need of Christ. We sang that song, I need thee, Lord, every hour I need thee. Yeah. His daddy used to say it, not every hour, every moment. I need thee, O Lord, every moment. I need thee. That's what Ed used to say that. He said, I don't know how many times he told me that. He said, just every moment's not enough. Every hour's not enough. And I tell you, we sang that song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel, God's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, what a song we got to sing. You know, when we get to glory, the only thing we're going to do is praise his name forever. Mm-hmm. we can't praise it enough down here, but we get up there, we won't have no problem. Oh, we won't have no problem. And oh, listen to what else they say about it. Oh, great and marvelous are works. And we say, Lord God Almighty. Oh, you're God. You're the Lord. You're Almighty. You're sovereign. You got all the power and all the rights. And listen to this. And just are true are thy ways. Everything you do is right. He don't do it because it's right. It's right because he does it. And it says, and oh, listen to this. He's the king of the saints. he's our king sitting on his throne. And then look what he says. And this, we understand this. Who shall not fear thee? Who shall not stand in awe of thee? Who shall not reverence thee? Who shall not stand before thee and stand there and not understand that you've got all, you've got my life, you've got my breath, you've got my being in your hand? Yes. Who shall not fear thee, Lord? And who shall not glorify thy name? To God be the glory. Huh? Who shall not glorify thy name? And this is why, because you're holy. Lord, you're holy. And you're the only one that's holy. And I tell you what, he says in one of these days, everybody's going to come before you and worship before you. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. And you know what they're going to say? Your judgments are made manifest. We saw them. And thank God we saw the judgments of God with our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. I've dealt with these 6-7 things of what our Lord said on that cross. And I tell you what, every single one of them was talking about what Christ suffered for sinners. If God put all of his judgment on his son, then it would be unjust for him to come back and judge us. Ain't that right? Why would he punish the same man twice for the same sin? And I tell you what, if Christ bore my judgment, I'm not going to bear it. And oh my. And just as Israel prevailed by God's hand, and you know what got them out of Israel? You know what got Israel out of Egypt? The blood of a lamb. God said, everybody put up a lamb! And take that blood, put it on this side post, and put it over that lintel. And he said, I'm going to come through Egypt tonight. And everybody that's got a firstborn, I'm going to start slaying them. And the thing is, all the firstborn of Egypt, and just like us, before we were ever born, we would already died in that lamb. And I tell you what, when they saw the blood of that lamb, it wasn't until that lamb was shed till they didn't come out of Egypt. And we don't come out of this world, and we don't come away from our sin, we don't come away from the judgment of God until God sees the blood. and then he'll pass over us. Is that not right? We prevailed over the beast the same way the Lamb gives us the victory. Let me show you something over here in Revelation 7. I hope I'm not taking too long. Look here in verse 13 and 14. Oh, it's the Lamb that gives us the victory. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where'd they come from? Where'd they come from? How'd they get here? Where'd they come from? And I said, the elders asked John this. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, my. We sang upon God's righteous judgment, and all someday will bow before Him. Then look here quickly in verse 5 through 8. Let me go over this thing. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. Just like the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's called the place where God dwelt. That's where the testimony of God was kept. The Ten Commandments. That's where it was kept. And in this tabernacle of the testimony in heaven, it was opened. It was open for everybody to see. And out of that temple, out of that tabernacle of the testimony of God, the testimony of Christ, the testimony of the blood, and the seven angels, they come up out of that temple. They came out of there. That place was opened up. Seven angels came out of it. And every one of them had seven plagues. And listen to how they was clothed now. Clothed in pure and white linen. You mean they're going to come and render, send plagues on this earth and they're clean, pure and white linen? Oh, listen, God, everything, He's right. Everything about Him is right and clean and pure and holy. And they're clothed in having, and then they've got this belt around there, right around here. They got a belt right around there. And they got a golden girdle around, a golden belt around there. Gold. Gold. Everything that God, you know, in the tabernacle, things were made out of gold. And in the temple, everything was made out of gold. Every cup they drank out of, everything was made out of gold except that brass altar. And then look into what they had, these golden girls. Now the four beasts, one of the four beasts, remember those four beasts that are around the eight? Well, one of them was, they're called cherubims. There's always around God when you find them, the cherubims. And one of those four beasts gave unto the seven angels, he said, here's your bowl. Here's your golden vial. Everything's got to be gold. That golden altar, golden vials. And he gave him a golden vial. And listen to this, every one of these vials was full of the wrath of God. Plumb full of it. And what God? The God who liveth forever and ever and ever. Huh? And oh my. God's temple, God's tabernacle is open. And it contains the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark where all them prayers was kept under that altar. The prayers of the saints, remember? And oh my, this temple's open, the wrath of God's about to be revealed. Dazzling white. Dazzling white. And they're full of the wrath of God from the ever-living God. Now listen to what it says now. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. You know how many times that happened in the Old Testament? It happened in Isaiah 6. And that was the time when Israel gathered in all their tents. And the tabernacle was sitting out there. And I'll tell you, you know, and they come down there and God come down in this great, great cloud. That's the Shekinah glory. And He came down in that cloud. And everybody stood way off. The only person who could come close was Moses. Everybody else stood afar off, and they saw that glory of God, and the scripture said every one of them bowed their heads and began to worship. And when we see the glory of God, and we see it in His blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, there ain't nothing we can do but bow our hearts and worship, because we see God's glory in Christ. And I tell you what, this temple was filled. Smoke descended on the mountain, on the tabernacle. God's holy anger, full and thorough. And then look what it says here now. And the temple's filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. Now I want you to pay attention to this. No man was able to enter into the temple. I mean, listen. Nobody's going back into that temple till these seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. No man can enter in. No intercession is possible anymore. God's in anger now. God's wrath and plagues are coming now. No more tender mercies. No more grace. No more being able to go in there anymore. God's fixing to wind this thing up. And when these plagues begin to fall, God said, that's it. That's it. There ain't nobody else coming in here until that's done. Oh, ain't you glad you know Him as God? Huh? Ain't you grateful to know that God has already done everything that He requires for us to have done? I'm so thankful for that. When I read about the wrath of God and the judgment of God and the things He's done down through history, I am so thankful that I don't have to face those things. Huh? I don't have to face them. Our Father, and the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before You in the blessed name of Christ our Lord. Lord, we've faced You tonight, faced Your holiness and Your judgments and Your wrath, and how that no one's brought to faith, no one's brought to Christ. Lord, it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. It's the mercy of God and seeing a view of the cross of our Lord Jesus that saves men. So, O Lord, we pray that You'd please have mercy upon our families. Lord, don't let these judgments and plagues fall on them. God, save them from the wrath to come. Save them from Your anger. Save them from Your just punishments. O Lord, for Christ's sake, go and deal with them. Go deal with them in mercy, not in anger. Go deal with them in kindness and pity, not in anger. Go deal with them in grace, not in anger. Oh Lord, I know that whatever You do is going to be right with all my loved ones. But Lord, for Christ's sake, I'd ask You, in wrath, remember mercy. Please don't leave them to themselves. Open their hearts, open their understandings. Be pitiful, be gracious, be merciful. And be the God of all grace. And save them if You will, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, He is all I need. And He is. And He is. See you Wednesday, God willing.